You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 24th, 2019. We were once Game Boys. We are now Game Men.
Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Chester.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. And we thought we'd been doing this podcast for a long time. Boy! You know what's
Game
even
Boy.
Older? Game Wow. Segway. We are talking about the Game Boy, because the Game Boy turns 30 this year. Oh, happy birthday, Game Boy.
Man, that Game Boy has finally reached the age where it's realizing that all of the professional athletes are younger than it.
Yep.
It's now found a nice, comfortable job in sales and is still working on novel.
Too real. Five more years and we can elect the Nintendo Game Boy as our president.
Couldn't get much worse, am I right?
Oh, bazinga.
What if we had, and then we could set it up to like Twitch Plays Game Boy for all domestic and international policy decisions.
Dude, total side note about like growing up, but I found an ad for the Game Boy that says, keep it in your pants.
Oh my God.
And it was like someone's back.
What a fucking 1990s.
It's so 90s, dude. Yeah. And like the overwhelming, I mean, God, just look, like, so it's someone's ass, right? With the outline of a Game Boy in the back pocket. Mm-hmm. You can see the, like, you know where it was like, would say Hanes on your underwear? It says Nintendo. Which, by the way, where can I get me some fucking bomb-ass Nintendo briefs?
Probably Hot Topics.
Probably Hot Topic. It's jeans. It's like blue jeans. It says Play Loud on the pocket. It's real good. It is real 90s.
Man, it's real. You can even tell, like, this is just... Do you think that it is? It's a that Nintendo briefs peeking out is a oblique reference to the sagging craze of the 1990s?
That's a good question. No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like the Game Boy, if you're not wearing a belt in the 90s and you got saggy pants, that Game Boy is going to cause your pants to fall down.
So it's not a stylistic thing. It's the heft of this Game
Boy.
It
is the heft. I mean, how heavy was the Game Boy?
We could probably find that out. It'll take me a minute or so. But it was, it took multiple AA batteries, so it was pretty heavy.
Was it four? I think it was four, right?
I think so.
So I assume you had a Game Boy. Is that right?
You know what? Weirdly enough, I did not have a Game Boy.
Interesting.
It is the 30th anniversary of a system that I actually didn't own, but I was able to finagle playing a fair amount. But we could talk about that a little bit. Did you have a Game Boy?
So I didn't have a Game Boy until they released, I guess, the transparent one, which Wikipedia says was in 1995.
Yeah, but it was still the... It wasn't the Game Boy Color, right? It was still the original model.
Still the original model, yeah. But it's fucking way cooler that you can see the circuit board. I think we can all agree.
Do you think that they'll ever bring that back? Are there any controllers out there these days that have translucent shells?
I'm sure that there are custom ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, here's the thing. I mean, going back to the comment about how 80s and or 90s it is.
Yeah.
That was a moment in time where like... hackers were cool, like the idea of like the mainframe was like it was still cool to look at the bits inside of your machine, which is just now we're in an era where like you don't want to see that. Everything's invisible and everything's smaller, you know.
But I remember even having a translucent PlayStation controller.
Dude,
wasn't just a Nintendo thing, it was everywhere.
And I would buy it if I could buy Switch controllers that were transparent hard plastic like that. I would absolutely buy that, because now it's a callback too, right?
Exactly.
It's very much a nod to that Game Boy era.
So what so you had it, let's say, so you had the transparent one, which means 95-ish
or so. Yeah.
Do you remember the circumstances under which you got a Game Boy?
Christmas, baby. Are you kidding me? Of course. Nice. I could never forget it. Yeah, my older sister got us one.
Oh,
it was
my gosh.
So cool. And I remember...
Wait. You said us. Does that mean you had to...
I had to share it.
Oh, brutal.
But hey, look, at this point, I'm of the age at that point where like it's, you know, it's for me and my twin sister, but let's be honest, it's clearly for me.
That's true.
So, My older sister was also the one that bought me a PlayStation, the original PlayStation when that finally came out. So she definitely supported my gaming habits at a young age. And by then, I think that was pretty clearly for me.
Well, yeah, and plus, like, there's something about the home console that is inherently more public versus the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the PlayStation can't, I mean, you have to do some work for the PlayStation to disappear and no one know, where it's like, hey, where's the freaking Game Boy? I haven't seen that thing in a week. And you're just, like, whistling as you're trying to hide your backpack.
You know? I mean, the benefit, though, is that even at that point, right, in 95, the Game Boy had been out for a little while already. Yeah. You could find used games at, like, I don't know, Babbage's or whatever at the time, right, for pretty cheap. And if I bought the game, well, then it's my Game Boy. Like, unless you want to buy your own game, it's basically mine. So, free reign.
I'm going to rent you this game.
Speaking of the transparent one, I do think they eventually released one that was, like, purple for the... Was it the Game Boy Advance had the purple transparent one? Or Game Boy Color, maybe?
It may have been the Game Boy Color, because I know the Game Boy Color had a solid purple model, so it wouldn't surprise me if it was the other...
So, yeah. I remember even then, because that one I purchased on my own... like a used version, I remember it feeling like an upgrade, because even then it was a callback to my original transparent Game Boy.
Oh, it had just, like a Pokemon, it had evolved to its next version.
Well, and I don't know what the sort of quality of the hardware was back in the day. I mean, the way that I remember the Game Boy was as something that was very sturdy, but I also was, look, it was the early 90s. I was a gross boy. It was probably full of fucking Dorito dust.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely bricked my Game Boy at some point. Like, it was functioning in the right way. I think, actually, I think the light was going. Because I remember trying to play with it being, like, really difficult to see anything.
Was that because the original Game Boy, did they mess with the screen with that translucent one?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. The transparent one. Did it have a backlight at that point?
Because I think the original one did not have a backlight, and I think they added that later on.
I wouldn't be surprised, I mean, I don't remember ever having to get, like, a dongle or anything to update, you know, to be able to see the screen.
Right. I think, I can't believe I don't remember. Well, I guess I don't remember because I never had Game Boys all that often. So here's the story of Game Boys in my household. So my parents refused to get us Game Boys.
Oh, really?
For much the same reason why smartphones are destroying civil society now.
Like, Scott's never going to look up from his Game Boy again if we get him this.
That's exactly what they thought. Their argument and their explanation was, if you're playing a video game in the living room, you're at least not just, you know, heads down in your own little square of plastic. You know what's going on in the room. Or, you know, if you're in the car or whatever, or if you're just out with us, like, we're afraid you'll never listen to us ever again if we give you one of these things.
Yeah.
Which, looking back on it now, is probably correct, but it was highly annoying at that time.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, given I was in a particular circumstance, right, at this point I was, like, growing up on a farm. I had no friends to go visit, right? It's not like I could just leave my house and hang out with a neighbor. There was no one for miles for me to play with besides my twin sister, who at that point I've gotten bored of. You know, whatever. I'm a kid. We have our beef. I remember, and again, so I actually didn't get my driver's license until I turned the age of the Game Boy, so 30 years old. But I imagine that getting my license at 16 would still be less liberating than getting my own Game Boy.
Like, well, yeah, because where are you going to drive? Someplace equally boring? You're not going to be able to go to frickin' Hyrule or something.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't even know the directions to Hyrule. How do I get that in, like, a... you know, an 87 hatchback.
You gotta use a magic flute to get there, clearly.
I remember playing my Game Boy, like, underneath the bed covers and, like, staying up late playing certain games. The interesting thing, though, right, is this conversation, as we were talking about it beforehand, brings up, well, okay, well, what were all of those great Game Boy games 30 years ago that we remember? And I actually don't remember playing a lot of these. Now that I've poked around, I do now recollect playing some of them, but I think I probably played a lot of the same game. I think there were maybe three games that I played dozens of times.
Right. So which are those? What are the highlight Game Boy games for you?
I mean, by far, above and beyond, to this day, it's one of my favorite games, Kirby's Dream Land.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Was that the first Kirby, or was there an NES Kirby?
There must have been another Kirby game, right? Because at that point, it already had a subtitle.
I guess so. I just didn't know if that was like that was their big swing, you know, like we're gonna start this franchise, we're gonna give it a subtitle.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. But I mean, Kirby's Dream Land, I played so many times. Like, I could run through that whole level right now. I should play it again.
It was released for the Game Boy. Interesting. So it wasn't even a port.
It's still such a fucking good game.
It's why I main Kirby to this day.
I do not main Kirby because he's like the worst character.
Because I'm not a garbage idiot.
Because I'm not a grown man baby who's bad at video games. Yeah, Kirby was one of the ones that I played a lot. Funnily enough, looking at the list of random Game Boy games, DuckTales I played.
Oh, yeah. I remember. And funny, that DuckTales game, I know there was like various iterations of that game. Like, there was definitely one on the Nintendo. They even did a remake of it a few years ago. Like, there was a lot of nostalgia around that thing.
Yeah, interesting. And then the other one, that, of course, that's on my list is like one of the Pokemon games. Pokemon Yellow, probably.
Yellow was the like Pokemon half step, right? Like, they had Red and Blue, and then they did Yellow shortly after.
I mean, I played Red and Blue as well. Yellow is the one that I probably remember the most. But I mean, I probably at that point I would have had a Game Boy Color, so I probably played that on the Color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about those two systems, do they share the same sort of mental space for you? The Game Boy was like a whole thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way that I played most of my Game Boy was either my like cousins that had it, and you know, they, you know, if they, for whatever reason, if they got a new Game Boy or whatever, they would, you know, they sometimes let us borrow it for, you know, days at a time, which you can really churn through some games, or you know, friends at school had Game Boys, so it's not like I've never, I played a fair amount of Game Boy, but I just never had one, so everything I have was like this very narrow specific slice of gaming. Pokemon was definitely one. I remember reading about Pokemon because it came out pretty late. Like, I remember us, you know, I feel like the two of us are slightly out of the sweetest Pokemon age range, you know. Like, if we had been a few years younger, it would have been formative in the same way that Ninja Turtles was formative. But it still was really interesting to me because the idea that you needed to trade in order to get all of the Pokemon was fascinating.
Yeah, it's still fascinating. I mean, every time I read about, you know, the weird events where a Pokemon would be distributed only at like a Japanese event.
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely you could trade that in and like, you know, you could buy a game. Like, I remember Legends that you could buy a Game Boy from Japan that has this particular Pokemon in it. And it's like hundreds of dollars.
When you had Pokemon, were you never able to evolve that one Pokemon that needs to be traded to evolve? Or did you have to take it to school? Or how'd you deal with that?
That's a good point, actually. I don't know. I think I probably took it to school, Because I do remember doing some trading. But I don't know. I was never especially that good. I mean, you know, classic George. For a long time. I was
never a Pokemaster.
Yeah, I mean, the history of experience points, I'm clearly like the saltiest about the Pokemon franchise. So probably even then I was like, this is bullshit. Why do I have to trade?
I just remember thinking because at the time, I think Pokemon came out in like 97, 98 or something. That was the heyday of my interest in JRPGs, period. Yeah. And so this was an interesting spin. What was at that point a novel spin on a JRPG, which made it even more, maybe even saltier that I didn't have a Game Boy because I really wanted to experience that firsthand.
But you did have a Nintendo system, right? Like, did you? So right now, right? Like, I think you and I would both say the Nintendo Switch is fulfilling a handheld niche.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And the games that I play on the Switch are not the same games that I play on my PC or my consoles. Mm-hmm. Was that true even then with the Game Boy? Like, did it open up a new avenue for you when you did eventually get a handheld system at all?
I mean, I don't think they had cracked aside from a few big titles, which we'll talk about later, I don't think they had really cracked the code of we need to redesign these games for the handheld.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember they even put games like Donkey Kong Country and Tony Hawk and stuff out on the Game Boy, and it's like, we're kind of missing the point here, people. Like, shrinking down a console game to a Game Boy always felt kind of weird.
Yeah.
But a game like Pokemon or, you know, the Final Fantasies that came out on Game Boy made more sense to me because of just the format. Whereas, you know, Super Mario Land, I mean, obviously a good game, but I would much rather play Super Mario on a larger TV with colors and so forth.
Yeah. The other question I have for you is about whether or not the Game Boy became the, like, iconic gaming system. Because I remember there was a time when a new console was coming out, even the first PlayStation, where people would say, oh, does your friend have one of those Game Boys? Or do you have, you know what I mean? Like, Game Boy was the word that people used when referring to a gaming console.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was like, it was there for at least the portable systems. Like, right. you could have a Sega Nomad or Game Gear or whatever, like, and they'd be like, put down that Game Boy.
I mean, I bet you my mom would still call, like, if she saw me playing the Nintendo Switch, she would say, put that down right now, young man, and also call it a Game Boy.
That's a big-ass Game Boy.
Damn, that's a huge Game Boy. Look at those graphics on those Game Boys. Wow.
How many double A's are in that baby?
How many pixels is that? What do you mean the controllers come off? Yeah, I mean...
I think there was that. I mean, there's... I remember having, in a past life, done some historical research on video games. The Game Boy was one of those systems that legitimized gaming in a broader... in kind of a broader cultural expanse. Yeah. There was a famous picture of, I think, George H.W. Bush recovering in the hospital, and he was playing a Game Boy.
No way.
And so it was one of those things where, because
it was actually reading important documents about Iraq.
Yeah, it was. That's how they actually, in the 80s, that's how they transmitted classified information.
Little known fact. Yeah, the Game Boy.
I mean, I think there was something to the Game Boy where it wasn't a console that monopolized your TV and your living room, and so it was almost you could treat it like a distraction or a toy and get away with it in the way that you could a crossword puzzle or something. The main game that I played on it, or the main game that I remember just thinking that I could lose everything to this game, like, was Tetris.
Oh yeah.
Because, I mean, it wasn't the first Tetris game in the States. I think, you know, there was some kind of PC, early PC Tetris variants after they smuggled it out of Russia, which, by the way, is a fascinating story. Everyone should read the story about how they got Tetris out of Russia.
In the way that a lot of things are smuggled, it was up someone's butthole.
They had to put all of these floppy disks.
No, it was actually in a Game Boy already at that point, which is actually the most uncomfortable portion of that story.
But I mean, just the Game Boy popularizing Tetris to me is one of the enduring legacies of it.
Yeah, I mean, again, and that is a game that is infinitely playable on the go.
Yeah, which is, again, to my earlier point, it's not just a shrunken down version of a platformer that you would rather be playing somewhere else. It's a specific type of game that works really well for the form factor.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the Yoshi puzzle game on Game Boy?
Not that I recall.
They had a version of it for the NES as well, and I was remembering it because they just put it out on the the Nintendo Classic Service or whatever that we have now, that we have, what do they call it? The Nintendo Prime or whatever.
Yeah, Nintendo Online or something like that.
Yeah, the Nintendo. Sorry, I forgot how generic it was. Nintendo Online. So
yeah, I mean, it was the Game Boy, Scott. Like, of course, it's.
They should have called it the Game Boy. Anyway,
the Game Boy instead of just Game Boy.
Yeah, exactly. The Game Boy, or the Game Boy app inside of your Nintendo Switch. But they put a port of it out. So I was thinking about it recently, where it's kind of like a Tetris like game, but different sorts of Super Mario type enemies, you know, like the squid or Goombas or whatever, drop down and you have to make stacks of them to disappear.
Yeah.
Or what you can do is sandwich them in between two eggs, and the egg can clear an entire stack without you having to match like for like.
So it's Bejeweled.
It is, except the way you so this gets even more complicated and hard to describe. So it's four columns of these enemies falling down, and the way that you move the columns around is by basically spinning them like stacks of plates. So you're transposing the order of the columns.
Yeah.
And so it gets...
Oh, I see.
It's kind of like juggling in a weird way.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember liking that game quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Final Fantasy Adventure, that was a good one. I played that. That's cool.
Was that the one that was kind of in the the more like Zelda style adventure versus the turn based?
Yeah, I mean, I remember it being much more similar to that, and actually, I remember it being really hard.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know if I ever really beat that game, to be honest.
Huh.
I wonder if I was already differentiating, even at that point, the type of game that I enjoyed, you know? Like, right. In terms of being on the go versus being on the Nintendo, right? Like, I had another system at that point, so if I wanted to play an RPG, you know, I did have another way of playing it.
Right. So the other thing, the other Game Boy game that I remember being really mad that I couldn't play was Metroid 2.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I never played that on the Game Boy.
Because Metroid was on NES, and Metroid 2, a sequel, was on the Game Boy. And then Super Metroid, a sequel to that, was on the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it seems rare that so many a direct sequel bounces through three different platforms.
When did you finally get a Game Boy? And, like, why did you make that decision?
The first Game Boy I ever got was, I think, a Game Boy Advance SP, like the clamshell version.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also, what SP. A great fucking system. Those are
amazing. Foldable, you know what I mean? Yeah. When are we going to bring that to the phone?
It cost me $2,000.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I ever owned an original Game Boy or even a Game Boy Color.
You know, now that we're talking about it also, the array of options for the colors and the skins, like, man, I do remember being jealous about some of this stuff, you know? Like, I'm looking at
outfitting your Game Boy.
Well, it's just like even when the Game Boy Color came out, right? Like, there's a bunch of different colors. The Game Boy Advance had a bunch of different colors. And the SP, man, I had my SP for like a decade.
I mean, I don't think we're alone in loving the SP. Like, I feel like the SP is one of the most fondly remembered consoles out there.
I mean, it's because everything was backwards compatible, right? Like, the moment you upgraded it, I could still play Kirby's Dream Land 2 on my SP.
My litmus test for any console is, can I play Kirby's Dream Land on it?
Yeah.
If not, get it out of here.
It's just so interesting that there's this console that, I don't know, I mean, in the way that people called any handheld device a Game Boy, I think for the people that watched me growing up getting more and more into video games, this must have been the unit that defined that, right? Like, and at least until the PlayStation, the Game Boy was it. Like, the versions of Game Boys were it. I didn't have a GameCube, you know? Like, I didn't upgrade into those systems. I had my regular NES. I guess after a while, I guess I had the SNES, and then went straight into the PlayStation when the PlayStation came out. But I did have a Game Boy. I had a Game Boy Advance, and I had a Game Boy Color, and I had a Game Boy SP, and like, so that was the platform of choice once I got onto it. So
you may have played that more cumulatively, than any other platform.
When I think back of like me as a little kid falling in love with video games, it's in front of the TV. And I think maybe now in retrospect, I wonder if really the predominant portion of my gaming childhood was spent on the couch,
right?
You know, like not playing on the TV, but instead having it in my hands. And maybe that was better for it, right? Because I did have siblings that wanted to use the TV to watch, you know, I don't know what's going on in the 90s, Geraldo Rivera, you know.
I was gonna say the OJ trial.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. I mean, we definitely watched the OJ trial. Who wouldn't be watching the OJ trial?
Do you think there's some, I mean, this is extremely hard to quantify, but do you think there is something about the, I mean, for lack of a better term, the intimacy of the Game Boy? Like, you could much more easily hide that, or it could much more easily be an exclusively personal thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easier to have that private space experience, you know? And again, like, I mean, it sounds a little bit weird, but I almost feel like every kid should have a handheld game when they're ready for it. Like in the in the opposite way that your parents are saying, right. Like it's exactly because you can be to be alone for a second, or because that you can tune out your parents and like really have that solitary experience that I think is really valuable. Like there's something in a similar way, and this is going to sound weird, but in the similar way that kids are encouraged to have pets to sort of participate with growing up, I think there's something valuable to have your kid experience something that is theirs, like very like an ownership, like a private thing that they can carry with them and is theirs, that opens up the world in that way, if that makes sense. I don't know. And maybe this is just this weird bias, because I could totally understand how, you know, you're also trying to get your kid to be more outdoorsy and get your kids to play with friends and stuff. But man, in like my little corner of the world, it having a handheld system was just so foundational.
Did Sam put you up to that little speech? I mean, is he like angling for a Switch or something?
Yeah, he's like, come on.
Yeah. Gotta get that Switch. I gotta start training now.
I mean, you know, the cleverest parents like put it in a lockbox, you know, and like you got to do your chores to get the key and solve this puzzle. It's his escape room now.
And that's how he understands how to use dynamite to blow the lockbox open.
I mean, I also know that it could start beef, you know, like I know that, you know, going to, you know, if you bring your Game Boy to school, you might drop it. You might get set. Yeah. Someone might steal it, whatever.
I definitely remember the constant fear of the kids who brought their Game Boys to school of it being confiscated by a teacher or something.
Yeah. I don't think I ever brought mine to school. I think I was too paranoid that it would get stolen.
I was paranoid on their behalf. I was like, oh, it was like someone showing you drugs at school. Oh, shit.
Is that a Game Boy?
Yeah.
I mean, it was still kind of pricey, right?
Let's go in the bathroom and play that.
I do remember bringing it to friends' houses, though, because when they were playing a game on their TV, I could be playing Wario Land on my Game Boy.
Did you ever play Link's Awakening, the Legend of Zelda game that they put out there?
No, we've talked about it. Yeah, I've never played Link's Awakening.
So I haven't either, and I have this weird feeling that... So they're redoing it for Switch. They have that remake going out, but I'm also interested in just like what that game was like on that console to see what they did with it. You know, how were they able to create a Zelda world within the constraints of what they were working with? But perhaps like my ideal version of that game probably wouldn't even be on a handheld anyway, you know?
That's true. Yeah. I think that's fair. Did you ever try the Game Boy camera?
Oh man. And the printer too.
That's the combination of those two is what I remember. And what's funny is for me, this was the lavish expense. Like I never had a Game Boy camera. I never had a Game Boy printer. Again, primarily because I could never afford that. My parents couldn't afford it. My older sister bought me a Game Boy and a Game Boy Advance or Game Boy Color eventually. But man, those two things were like the dream purchase. That would have been so cool.
I would have taken so many pictures of my own ass and put them everywhere.
Yeah. It's a really neat thing. I mean, it's a bizarre little piece of history that I kind of wish I had now. And I mean, I don't have... God, I wish I had my Game Boys, but they're long gone by now.
I mean, it's also just a reminder of how consistently weird Nintendo has been with hardware.
Yeah.
I mean... A camera for this tiny little 8-bit device, like also one that prints out stickers. Like it's just such a strange.
Oh, right. Stickers. That's so cool.
I mean, you would think that's why it's like anytime like, what the fuck? Cardboard. Why would. And it's like, oh, wait, this is the same company that put out a freaking camera and a sticker printer in the 90s. Like nothing is off the table for these maniacs.
And I've seen indie devs take that Game Boy camera and integrate it into their own like weird little game projects, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's still a weird inspirational thing because it's so off the wall for games.
I think the thing that still attracts me to at least the memory of a Game Boy and also just the other systems that Nintendo has put out, whether it's the GBA or the Game Boy SP or DS or what have you, or even the Switch now, it's how single use they actually are. They are four games and that's pretty much it, which now makes it this weird single use device in a world where our phones do everything.
Yeah.
And I almost kind of wanted them to keep it that way because it feels different when, like, if someone, I mean, I can print things from my phone to a printer. Like, that is not a novelty.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a novelty if this thing that I conceive of as just a thing for me to play Tetris on all of a sudden has a camera and a weird printer, that there is a certain charming nature to that, yeah, that you don't get because it's pushing the boundaries of what you expected.
Well, and you have to ask, right? Like, how do I use this for play? Like, how do I take something that you don't associate with play? I mean, at that point, we associate printers with schoolwork, you know?
Exactly.
Or like taxes or something, not play. So that's kind of a cool thing. Yeah. And, so, you know, and to the topic of like a dedicated thing, I think it goes back a bit to what I was saying about how it creates that like isolated sort of private experience, right? Like, and that's something that you get even with the Switch today. Like, I left my Switch at work today, and on my way home, and I was like,
I can't believe you're still talking to me.
Dude, I was so bummed. And I wasn't just bummed for like the ride home. I was thinking about the next day, like tomorrow morning when I'm commuting to work, being like, man, I'm not going to be able to play Final Fantasy VII tomorrow morning. But, you know, I have my phone. I've got a bunch of bullshit games on there, but like, it's not transported in that way. And now I, as I've said before, I play my Switch almost exclusively handheld, you know? And it's been true since I got my first Game Boy. It's still one of my favorite ways of playing video games.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now that the Switch has finally, it has realized the scope and scale of some of those big console games, but you can now play them in that more intimate setting. It's kind of like you can now play what you imagined the games were like when you were playing Game Boy, where it's like when you're playing Final Fantasy Adventure or whatever, it's like, in your head, it was these epic dragons and, you know, crazy airships and stuff. And now you can actually do that handheld.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Man. Although I would still just gladly replay Kirby's Dream Land 2, like now.
I mean,
no updated graphics at all.
They've only put out the NES stuff for that Nintendo Online service. I mean, Game Boy has to be behind, you know, right around the corner, right? Like, it's natural that they would put out a Game Boy emulator.
That's a good point. They should have done it for the anniversary. What a great way to celebrate its history as well.
That would be great. And also just sell a couple more subscriptions there where it's like, hey everyone, Kirby's Dream Land.
Well, and also, like, real talk, right? 30 years is the exact perfect time to come out with a system to a group of people who've been playing it long enough to have their own kids who are now old enough to play their own Game Boy.
Maybe what I should do, because those things are freaking indestructible, I should just find an old Game Boy and give Sam that. And that way, I don't have to share the Switch.
Perfect. Plus, like you said, it's indestructible. You could drool on that thing and nothing's going to happen to it.
And if he truly wants to be a Pokemaster, it is ever more challenging to find other dedicated Pokemasters that only play in the true original form.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, maybe he'll become, you know, some next level collector getting those like bootleg Japanese Pokemon from, you know,
it's like people who, it's like the Japanese Blockbuster edition or whatever. It's like people who still speak in Latin to debate. He'll be the original Pokemon.
What is that like Japanese E3 that they do every year that I'm forgetting its name? Didn't they do like special Pokemon just for that?
There was Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, Tokyo TGS.
But Nintendo had one called Space World.
Also very 80s and 90s naming conventions.
I'm taking my Game Boy to Space World.
Random question off the top of my head, but do you think that the term Game Boy kept games sort of infantilized for longer than they would have had it not had that name?
I mean, Nintendo, you could probably levy that criticism at most Nintendo stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they always have maybe not a flat-out toy, but something that is more, I don't know, something that has that sort of whimsy to it rather than a personal computer.
But like, I wonder if if games culture would be different had it been called like, not the Game Man, as you so eloquently put it at the beginning of this episode, because that would be weird. Mom, let me get a Game Man. But
a what?
But like, I don't know, Game Station or like,
yeah,
Playbox. I don't know.
Yeah, if it was something, I mean, it's funny because that's eventually
call it a calculator. The kids would have just gone to 10, you would have sold so many copies.
Yeah, it's called the Texas Instruments game calculator.
Yeah, Nintendo calculator. You're like, Mom, I need a calculator. Let me get this $300 one. I need some of these math cartridges.
Yeah, this one's called Mario Does Math.
Hey, I mean, Tetris is a geometry problem, so.
There's 151 Pokemon, and I need to add them or something. I don't know. Can I just have this?
I mean, that's basically an Excel spreadsheet that you're learning. That's good practice.
Yeah. It is very... It's also just, I guess in wrapping up, it's also just impressive as to how long the Game Boy ran. I mean, It was like a, 10-year... They were putting out Pokemon in the late 90s, and that system came out in the late 80s, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nutty.
I mean, the impact of it is impressive, and still definitely... You can see the echoes of it, even in how the Switch is set up today.
You know, it's not often that we go down memory lane on this podcast. I don't think... Like, we don't lean into the nostalgia of it, you know? Like, we're not retro... This isn't a retro games podcast, but...
But it is today.
It is today. I mean, I think it is good to think back on those old pieces of hardware, you know? I mean, we are advocates for maintaining game history, you know? Yeah.
Well, and I think the Game Boy is one of those things, to your point, that the hardware may have been more important than the games.
Yeah.
Where I would usually argue that the games are more important than the hardware, generally speaking, from a broader historical perspective, but... To your point, the form factor was just so important for what that thing even was and how it influenced that.
Yeah,
it's important to remember it as a physical object rather than a computer. You know?
I mean, was this the first truly handheld gaming system? Was there any others from like random third party Japanese like Atari on the go or something?
I don't know. I mean. Maybe. Nintendo put out those, like, small Game & Watch consoles, but they were, like, single-use, you know, single-game things. I remember those, like, Tiger Electronics pieces of shit. Remember, like, it was, like, the baseball game or the Batman game or whatever?
Oh, God, like, yes. Where the buttons are small and don't work well.
Yeah, it was just, like, a static screen with, like, three different, like, you know, animation units on it or whatever. Yeah, like
two states, the bat forward or the bat backwards.
Yeah. I mean, but to my mind, it was probably at least the most popular mainstream implementation of that, you know, having to have different cartridges and so forth.
Yeah. And now we just take it for granted.
No, yeah. Well, you don't take it for granted now that your Switch is like locked up.
I know. Actually, I'm like super bummed out right now. Even tonight, I was shaking. On my way. The reason I thought about it on my way home was like, oh, I need to download like Baba Is You and like a couple other indie games that have dropped today. And then I was like, fuck, it's thrown on my back.
No.
Yeah. Well, there's that moment where you go, have I lost my Switch? You know, like, I don't know if I've saved it. That's when I
pulled the emergency brake on the BART train.
Yeah. Well, I also left it in the window, and I'm like, can you get too much sun? Like, what's going to happen?
Well, we'll wrap it up there, because I know you have to get back over to the city to break into your building.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't want to take too much time. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. You can listen to any of our podcasts on the go by listening on whatever podcast platform you choose to listen on. Spotify, Pod,
Stitcher,
App Pod. That's probably a thing.
You could probably get a homebrew thing onto your Game Boy. I'm sure someone has modded that at some point.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be cool.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.